I should remember that I'm a man, so I can't multitask. So welcome to the council meeting. We have all the councillors here and online. We, I believe, have an apology from Vicar, and I think from Patrick. Gabby, is that right?
Hi.
Oh, is it Patrick on the phone?
I'm online.
Hi, Patrick. Sorry about that. Thank you. All right. So the first item on the
Nick, this is Nick Tommaso. Sorry to interrupt, but we have not started the proceedings here yet.
The minutes have been posted, and that's a formality. Gabby, would you be able to run us through the action points, please? Would you want me to come back to that? Come back to it? Okay, fine.
They're on.
So we now move to item number two. You've got them? Okay, thank you.
This is the wrong.
Yeah, just run through any outstanding ones with a microphone.
Hello, Nick. This is Paul Bevan doing audio.
Excuse me. Panelists are requested to be on this side for reasons I will explain shortly. Panelists and committee members, public participation committee members on this side. I'll be seated here. Thanks.
Hello, Nick. This is Paul Madden. Can you just do a quick count for me so I can get a good level for you in the room, please?
Yeah, sure. 1, 2, 3, check.
Sounds
1, 2.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, could someone tell me what are the language arrangements, what channel for what language?
Well, yep. For all of the languages, folks, on the translators, channel 1 is English, channel 2 will be French, channel 3 will be Spanish.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear ICANN community, considering that it's 10 minutes past the hour, almost 11, I suggest we start this meeting of the Public Participation Committee of the ICANN Board, which is being held in public and for the benefit of the whole community, whether in Nairobi or by remote participation. So this arrangement here may seem a bit odd to you. I owe you a word of explanation. It was felt that we should not pretend to be the Central Committee or the Politburo, and as the room is arranged, of course, that would give that impression if we were up there with only 5 seats, whereas the number of people maybe speaking is a bit higher than that. So this is not a criticism. It's simply that we found out coming here that maybe it was more convivial this way. And I would ask Katim to please come to the panel side. I should have told you a bit earlier. I'm sorry. And so to start off, I will ask first each of the committee members and the panelists for today's meeting to introduce herself or himself. Starting right away here.
Okay, thank you. My name is Vandes Cartesini. I'm from Brazil. I'm an ALAC liaison to the board and member of this committee. Thank you. You?
Hello. My name is Gonzalo Navarro. I am a member of the board, and I'm from Chile. Oops, sorry.
My name is Martin Boyle. I'm with Nominet, which is the .UK domain name registry, and I'm here on behalf of the CCNSO.
I'm Bill Drake. I'm an academic in Geneva and a member of the GNSO Council from the non-commercial stakeholder group.
And I'm Thomas Narton. I'm the IETF liaison to the board and also on the committee and from the USA.
I am Rafik Damak from Tunisia and GNSO counselor for the non-commercial stakeholder group.
And my name is Katim Toure from the Gambia, West Africa, and an ICANN board member.
And I'm Jean-Jacques Subrenard, member of the board, and I have the honor of chairing this public participation committee. A few words, if I may, in guise of an introduction about the public participation committee, but also about this meeting in particular. This is the 5th time that this committee is holding its meeting in public, and you can guess what motivation lies behind that. It is really an exercise in relating with our community. The second thing is that this time, I think quite aptly, this committee has decided to focus on the requirements, the needs expressed in developing countries. My third point is that the purpose of public participation is not just awareness. Of course, it's that, but ultimately, the purpose of public participation in ICANN is to get those people who are in a position to bring some added value to the policy process to contribute to that process. The fourth point is that you will notice, I hope, through Rob Hogarth, who is at that corner, but he's behind there just now, that we are using in this session in Nairobi, but also more generally during the ICANN 37th meeting in Kenya, a great proportion of remote participation tools. And the fifth and last thing is that this is all about a community. And you will notice, perhaps you'll be surprised, that the substantial interventions today, apart from that given initially or to be given initially by Nick Ashton-Hart, who is the senior director for this and the support from staff to this committee, apart from him, the panelists are not from this committee. They are from other parts of ICANN, and I wanted to underline the importance of this in my mind. Finally, I'd like to make sure that everyone recognizes on the screen, perhaps, or otherwise by sound, Nick Ashton-Hart, who's the senior director for this kind of activity. Nick Tomaso, perhaps you could say a word yourself, and then I'll ask Rob Hogarth to introduce himself as well. Thanks.
My name is Nick Tomaso. I'm the general manager for meetings and conferences for ICANN. I've been with ICANN for about 18 months now, and this is my first meeting, and I'm very pleased to participate on the PPC committee on a regular basis.
Good afternoon. My name is Rob Hogarth. I'm senior policy director with ICANN. And my capacity during this meeting is sitting in for Mr. Ashton-Hart, who is participating remotely. So I'll be keeping my eye on the chat. I did want to alert the chair and other folks here in the room that we are experiencing some running brownouts. So those of you listening in on the bridge, those who may be participating in the chat room, we are having some frequent crashing problems with the Adobe Connect. So we appreciate your patience. If perhaps you want to just utilize the streaming functions of the audio, that might be an appropriate alternative for the next couple of minutes. In the room, we can see the scribe feed as well as the presentation, and we'll keep, you know, as soon as it crashes, we'll put Adobe Connect back up. Just wanted to alert everybody to that issue.
Thank you, Rob. A word about languages. You have the audio equipment at the table behind me, and the languages are as follows: English on channel 1, French on channel 2, Spanish on channel 3. Thank you. Now, Nick Ashton-Hart, please lead off the discussion, or the presentation, rather.
I'm happy to, Jean-Jacques. Can I be heard okay?
Yes.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you the proposed program of the Public Participation Committee and also my proposed program for the remainder of this ICANN fiscal year, ending the last day of June of this year, and into the next fiscal year, beginning, of course, the following day on the 1st of July. There are four main projects which you see listed here. One is a holistic review of the public participation processes in ICANN. The second being meetings for the next decade. Third, distance communication tools and systems, which we are using now. And fourth, last but not least, a comprehensive outreach and engagement strategy. The document summarizing these four projects is on the agenda page for this meeting in English, Spanish, and French. The first project, the review of the public participation processes, obviously this public participation is the core of ICANN. All policy development happens through a multi-stakeholder-based system. And after 10 years of operation, it made sense to look at how all of them are working and how they work together. You know, what relationship does the public consultation process have with public forums and public board meetings and the many ways in which people can be heard on various issues? How well do they work? Who do they work for? And how could they be improved? The second, Meetings for the Next Decade, is a three-stage consultation which runs over most of this calendar year. The idea with this is that it be completely bottom-up based. In fact, where in the past we have had consultations on meetings which have begun with a paper written by one or more people discussing or proposing various options. In this case, we are not doing that. We are starting with a dynamic survey in which respondents are able to actually add answers to those available at the beginning of the survey, and in this way to gather information on what the community thinks about meetings, what it likes, what it doesn't like, this first stage being focused in particular on the higher level issues of structure and duration of meetings and similar things. And the results of that will then be fed into creating some options for the next stage of the consultation to consider. The first stage of this is obviously a consultation between the PPC and, in particular, the meetings department. So the first stage of this consultation is expected to begin in a little after Nairobi. The official public consultation window will be 45 days long. And the survey and supporting materials will be available in the six UN languages from the beginning. Next, we have distance communication tools. The premise behind this, there was a good deal of work over the history of the PPC on remote participation, and it seemed logical to look at distance communication tools from the premise that everyone is actually a remote participant most of the time when working on ICANN work, whether they're a volunteer or a staff. We're all on working group and other calls on a regular basis where we are remote from everyone else. So how can we look at the tools we use every day as well as those that support meetings, like those we have been using over the last few days, find out what works, what doesn't, and what's needed, and come back to the community, of course, more than once during this process to see that we're on the right track. And finally, with outreach and engagement, it's no secret that many communities want to engage new constituents and are, in fact, active in recruiting them, or to use a better word, engaging them or reaching out to them. The organization has mandates at varying levels also to engage new stakeholders from the board and from review processes. But there isn't an overall sort of coordination between all of these efforts to help us maximize the way in which resources are used, see how we can cross-utilize material that might be needed for one community, for another community, and see if there are any holes in the various different strategies that are being engaged in, where we're actually missing out on an opportunity to reach out to a community we may see now underrepresented or not represented in ICANN, with obviously the goal of creating a more diverse, in every sense of the word, active stakeholder community. The key premise, of course, being how can we also help existing communities outreach and engagement goals. Again, this is very much intended to be a bottom-up based coordination process rather than a top-down mandate. And that's the end of the introduction. I now turn it over to Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Nick. Could you please perhaps say a word of the order of the panelists who will now be speaking and introduce the subjects?
Well, I guess there's no better way, no more egalitarian way, perhaps, than to go in alphabetical order. Do you wish to have the guest panelists speak first, Jean-Jacques? That's what I'm guessing.
Sorry, to have what? I didn't hear you.
The guest panelists speak first, or
yes,
the
naturally,
PPC?
Yes, of course. So Martin Boyle.
Then I believe, yes.
So Martin, please.
Thank you very much. Certainly, I think for me, from the developed world, coming and speaking about participation, in particular, how to promote participation from developing countries is perhaps a sort of very humbling task. But I thought I would start off by just saying a little bit about the work that the CCNSO did in trying to increase its participation and just as a slight measure of success when they set up a participation working group, and I think it was about 2 years ago, there were 50 members in the CCNSO, and now it's over 100, there's 104. And a lot of that really appears to me to be the fact that it was about getting to understand what the people who weren't participating in the meetings actually would like to see being addressed at the meetings. So it was all about issues. It was all about being relevant to them and their involvement. And so the Participation Working Group did all the natural things, all the normal things. They worked with ICANN, the ICANN liaisons. They reached out. But in particular, I think of importance was they did this participation survey to find out what people wanted to talk about. If I can just sort of divert for a little second, one of the things that my company has been trying to do is to ensure a better involvement of stakeholders in the UK in our policy-making process. And the way that we've done that has been, again, to try and look at issues and base things on the issues that are relevant to the stakeholders, because we actually hope that when we do that, those stakeholders will actually come and give us the advice and the support that we really need to make useful policy. And the last point, because I was told to be brief, and anybody who knows me knows that that is quite a challenge, the CCNSO produced a little leaflet. It's quite short, and it's in quite simple language, quite clear language, and it just sets out on six panels why one might want to get involved in the CCNSO. And I think that is something that you can give to people in other fora, that you can just get out so that people are aware of that, allows you to get quite a big reach, and so something that I would just show up as being perhaps a good practice that could be adopted more widely. Thank you. And there are more copies of this. If I put them over by the door, anybody who's interested to see can just pick them up.
Thank you, Martin. I'll call on Rafik Damat to make his presentation now and say a word of a self-introduction, please, Rafik.
I am here as a tour from the China, so but also as I'm from a developing country, and shortly I want to say that there is a clearly need from ICANN to outreach the communities from developing countries, but also to have capacity and awareness building program toward those communities. Because when I started my involvement, regarding my own experience, when I started involving on ICANN community, it was a little hard at the beginning to understand all this process and all this different supporting organization. And I think that I know that there is a lot of documentation in the ICANN website, but I think that there is a need to have more appropriate document or handbook or how to document for those people or newcomer who want to join the ICANN community, to help them to involve and to participate effectively in the process. And I think that tomorrow or today there will be an internet governance workshop during ICANN meeting, and I think it's a good example of how ICANN can have more workshop, but not just during ICANN meetings, but to have more specific outreach outreach efforts, especially to organize some events at regional level toward those communities. As one of example of, I think that is not failure, but it's that I can miss it, the opportunity, especially for the new GTLD. It organized many outreach events, but the only region who is missing is Africa. And we are in the process of UI, and many people expressed concern that communities from developing region are not enough aware about new GTLD process. I think that ICANN has to fix that by more outreach efforts.
So. Yes, thank you. Now, Bill Drake, would you care to speak, please?
Thank you very much. I think it's really excellent that we're having this conversation, but I can't help noticing that it's mostly the usual suspects that I see around the world talking to each other when we're at a conference with a lot of people from the region. So there seems to be some sort of a disconnect. I don't know if it's a publicity issue or not, but I wish we could draw more attention to what we're talking about here. I'll just say, you know, I tend to come at these things from the perspective of an academic and activist who's done a lot of work on international institutions dealing with internet and telecommunications and so on, including issues of participation. And from that standpoint, I think there's a lot that ICANN can do that would really help and that would not really constitute mission creep. Rather, I think it would be a matter of preserving and enhancing ICANN's ability to achieve its existing mission more effectively. I would just mention three points real quick, and I can expand on any of them at length if we have the opportunity later. One certainly would be to reduce the sort of informational barriers to entry, the sort of information overload problems that all newbies encounter, take on a particular sort of set of dimensions when you're dealing with folks who come from around the world, different linguistic, cultural, other kinds of backgrounds. Walking into ICANN meetings or even approaching the ICANN website, one can easily feel overwhelmed very quickly, and I think certainly work could be done on the website to make it more user-friendly, perhaps have a track that would be sort of specialized to people who are more entry-level. One could think about doing things like having a Sherpa or focal point at conferences, or even some sort of a volunteer buddy system where some people would help people from developing countries sort of find their way around in these meetings. Obviously, more work on translation support, remote participation. The cultural style thing, I think, is an important thing that we have to tackle. A lot of us who come from the industrialized countries, we speak very quickly in English. We say, any questions? Good. No. Okay, fine. Boom. And people don't feel quite ready to jump in as fast as we expect. The style of debate can be a little bit more, you know, convince me you're not wrong, which is different from what they might experience. People might experience in other environments. I think just generally, you know, listening and showing that ICANN's listening, perhaps having evaluation forms, finding ways to engage people in conversation in various ways. Secondly, I would significantly expand outreach and capacity-building efforts. I don't think, personally, as constructed, roving meetings are sufficient. I think that it would be very helpful if there was perhaps a preparatory day before meetings, or if you even could do some annual regional capacity-building seminars. I mean, it's not the ICANN's main job, obviously, to be a capacity-building institution. But there's some things it could do that are specific to participating in ICANN that perhaps in partnership with organizations that do capacity building that would be very helpful. And perhaps make better use of other opportunities like the IGF, where right now the typical pattern is to do an hour and a half quick overview of current issues rather than providing a more systematic introduction to a lot of people who come in who don't have the background. And finally, I would say, you know, trying to work on the two dimensions I just mentioned won't be enough as long as there are sort of larger political and perceptual blockages to participation. There are a lot of views, I think people are aware, in various parts of the developing world of ICANN that I think suppress engagement. This is especially true among government people, and I think we have to work harder to figure out how to overcome those through sort of soft power and persuasion and demonstrating real commitment and trying to cultivate constituencies within these countries. So I would just throw those three points out as a starting point. I'll stop there.
Thank you very much, Bill. Now I'll hand over the microphone to Nick Ashton-Hart. It's yours, Nick.
Sorry, Jean-Jacques, I had to unmute myself. Jean-Jacques, do you wish to allow the audience for a few minutes to put their perspectives on this?
As you remember, that was our plan, so I think we should have already a set of reactions from the participants, and then we'll go on with the discussion. You moderate from here. That's true. Sorry, I didn't realize that Nick is not in the hall, so he can't see who's... So I'll do that. So go ahead. Aisha?
Thank you. This is Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. I took away some interesting points from what the panelists so far have talked about. Thank you to the panelists for highlighting some key points of... for follow-up. One thing I've already started to hear in the hallways, this is a really practical issue, but a number of developing country participants have started to say that they're concerned about their visas for Brussels. Just as a practical issue, probably assuring people that that kind of information will be made available very quickly and that the time frames that they have to face to get their visas to come into Europe will be addressed would probably encourage participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Aisha. Who would like to speak next? We've taken your point, of course. I'm not taking notes of everything, but I'm sure that Nick is doing that on his side. Who would like to speak now? Sorry, I can't see everyone. Marilyn, please.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I'm sorry I arrived a bit late, but I want to join with undoubtedly what others have said, and that is how much we all appreciate the work that this committee is doing and the focus that is going into trying to enable public participation and broad participation, whether it is face-to-face or remote. And I also want to note the, with great appreciation, the recognition that we must provide remote participation in both narrowband and broadband supported modalities because some of the folks we want to reach most are, of course, still in an evolving environment of the access and infrastructure issues. I would agree somewhat, without going into any detail, that I do believe that ICANN can do capacity building without engaging in mission creep. And we'll just describe a bit of the experience that the business constituency is having in building a and trying to support a sustainable outreach, awareness building, and perhaps membership recruitment effort. So our goal, although some of our members originally may have thought that our outreach efforts would all be about membership recruitment, that is, whoever we met with, we would want to become a member, I think that actually we have found that the broader impact to ICANN is that we focus as much on awareness and education about what ICANN is and why the business community participates in ICANN and cares about ICANN. And if in the course of that discussion it is clear that ICANN and we have something to offer, then the party we're talking to will choose to become a member of the BC. I say that because it's important to understand that when we recruit members in a constituency, and this is an important message for all of us in reaching out to people, if we create expectations that if they become involved in ICANN, we're going to meet their expectations, whatever they are. We need to carefully design at suitable levels the services we can provide so that when people join us, they're happy. And once they're there, they will self-select and evolve into the activities. So capacity building in helping to get people first involved and finding something that is of interest to them and maybe helping them translate why ICANN is important is often not at the policy level. It is actually at the level of why is ICANN important in its role in the technical management and governance of the Internet. And I don't think we've broken the code in defining that and describing that in a way that is easy for businesses, not our supplier friends, but businesses to understand. So I mention it because as we look at building sustainable participation, I feel that we need the support and involvement of the global business community, most particularly businesses from the developing countries. So we have to treat this like a journey and look at every meeting we go to and think about how we can sustain the awareness and at least involvement through online materials, other kinds of suitable activities, so that they feel like their investment and getting to their first ICANN meeting is worth the next investment, which is following what we do.
Thank you, Marilyn. Sebastian?
Merci. Comme nous avons la traduction, Monsieur le Président, vous avez raison, l'interprétation de cette conférence, je souhaite en profiter et être d'abord dire que je suis d'accord tout à fait avec ce que Marilyn vient de dire et que j'ai l'impression qu'il serait souhaitable, et votre comité pourrait nous y aider, qu'il n'y ait pas chacun qui cherche à faire du recrutement pour soi-même, c'est-à-dire que les entreprises fonds du recrutement pour les entreprises, les at-large pour les individus, les CCNSO pour les CC, le gouvernement pour le gouvernement, mais que nous avons une tâche commune qui est celle de faire en sorte qu'il y ait une participation de plus en plus large de l'ensemble des communautés dans l'ICANN. Et que si on arrive à faire cela, c'est-à-dire à partager cette recherche de... The translation is not working?
No. Okay. I'm told the streaming English translation is not working.
Okay. Then I will turn to English. Sorry about that.
Our apologies, monsieur.
That's okay. Then I will repeat shortly. I would like to say that I agree with a lot of things that Marlene said. I will not repeat, but I would like to emphasize that it seems to me that there are a lot of community within ICANN who are trying and I hope succeeding to have outreach. Everybody, business constituency, ALAC, CC, NSO, GAC are trying to recruit new members. And very often we say in developing country. And that means that at the end of the day, I am sure that if we put together our efforts, it will be better for ICANN and for the overall community. Then I hope that this committee could help in this direction, because if we leave the outreach in each silo, it will be okay, but it will not be as much as it can be done. It's why, for example, at the at-large level, we are trying to work more closely with the CCNSO, because we think that they are some valuable asset to share. I am sure that we can do the same with the GAC, and why not with the business community. My second point is that, and this is a proof of concept, we need to enhance our tools for public participation and interpretation tools, because it must work. I remind to try to participate to one meeting in Washington from France, and during the first 20 minutes, it was not, we could hear nothing, but the meeting was going on. And when you are participating from remote, you are also a member of the meeting, and then you must not start the meeting without all the facility. Or if you start the meeting, that means that you have two types of participants, the one in the room and the one outside of the room. And I think one single meeting, even if people abroad or outside of the room, it's the must. Thank you.
Merci, Sébastien. I realize I cannot speak in French. Yeah. Or has that been repaired? No. Well, I'm very sorry for that. I think that's not a good example on the part of this public participation committee, not to have settled that. A word, though, as far as these facilities are concerned, we had the choice of either waiting for an approved and tested system to be absolutely foolproof and then start this kind of PPC, Public Participation Committee, meeting in public. But we took the risk, and right from this, I think it was Mexico, to do this in public. Because I think it gives you some sense, and to us certainly the awareness, of the types of problems which we are faced with. Because we tend to consider, in my country, France, for instance, that access is not so much of a problem. We have big tubes and a lot of traffic going through that. But I think it's fair to also get a sense concretely, in concrete terms, of what the difficulties are. So we are here to talk about content, but here we are faced also with part of the problems which we have. Now, thank you for all those remarks which were made so far, and I'm turning to Rob Hogard to ask if there are any people online who wish to come into the discussion at this stage.
No one has yet asked a question in the chat room. We certainly welcome people who are participating remotely to submit questions over the chat room or otherwise raise their hand.
Thank you. Now, of course, we could go on like this and taking various questions or remarks in any order, but may I suggest that we solicit answers or remarks or suggestions according to the four themes which Nick Ashton Hart reminded us of at the beginning, which is the work program of this committee for the coming months, and whether you approve of them, whether you think they are meaningful or completely irrelevant, or if they are not irrelevant, what could be meaningful in order to improve them. I thought initially to set these up again, but I think it's because of the number of participants, which is rather limited in this hall, and even online, I'm afraid to say, it's not much of a problem going to and fro. So I open the floor to any discussion on mainly the four elements which were brought up by Nick early on, the four projects which are now on the left-hand screen, four main projects. I remind you of that for those who are online and who perhaps are not looking at a screen just now. First, a holistic review of public participation processes, the whys and wherefores and hows. Second, meetings for the next decade. Third, distance communications tools and systems. And four, comprehensive outreach and engagement strategy. So the floor is yours. Marilyn, please.
Marilyn Cade, speaking in this case as the chair of the business constituency, but my expressed views are not a position of the business constituency. They are, in fact, based on an extensive research effort I've undertaken over the 11 years that ICANN has existed by attending all but one of its meetings. So I want to make a couple of points about what I see that perhaps we could work to improve on in a couple of areas. In looking at meetings for the next decade, if we are able to plan our meetings not just 1 year ahead, but 18 months ahead, choose locations, and even begin to identify venue contracts, we will both save money and we will provide predictability to the attendees who do wish to participate with us. We will help them to reduce the cost of their investment in travel. The other thing that I would point out is that, as far as I know, there's no present process in front of the UN to increase the number of countries or regions. So the good news is, we actually know what the landscape is to work with. As we plan our meetings, I will offer two points of view. The meetings that are strongest, the meetings that are most productive in terms of building relationships and networks, are the meetings that take place when the meeting location is co-located with a significant number of hotel rooms. That is because the staff who work very hard, our board, who thank God works even harder, and our community, who probably feels like they work even harder, are able to interact with each other on an ongoing basis as they rush from meeting to meeting, as they meet in the hall, as they meet at dinner, as they hang out over a cocktail, and work is actually enhanced by those personal interactions. The meetings that don't work well, from those perspectives of building the 6 degrees of separation, where if I don't know the answer, I know a person who knows the answer because I met them, and I can refer you to that person. The meetings that work less well are the ones when we have 6 to 8 hotels, and the board is in different hotels than the community, and the board is away from the community, and the staff are struggling with trying to be everywhere and do their jobs as well as get into transport. Now, I understand the limitations of planning global meetings, I actually did a stint of being a meeting planner, so I got it. So whatever we could do to try to come up with a sort of a best practices, and the local host will always have their own preferences, but maybe there are things we can do to try to help in that area. On the issue of comprehensive outreach and engagement strategy, I feel very strongly that we need to develop customizable resources and tools that empower each of us to be an agent of comprehensive outreach and engagement. So we need a core set of materials that we can use, adapt suitably within restrictions to the briefings and presentations and recruitment we do, and we need to be the ambassadors of recruitment to ICANN. That doesn't diminish what ICANN, the organization, needs to do. It just means that ICANN just unofficially retained a significant number of very enthusiastic ambassadors to speak in the trade associations they're involved in or in the community environments, to pick up involvement in the IGF and elsewhere. And I think if we think of it that way, that then we think about that we can easily repurpose the materials that are developed on a centralized basis by providing a little bit of additional money to allow a stakeholder group or the ALAC to customize those materials and to be the part of the distribution. I'm just going to say one other thing. PR, as much as executives love it, and I worked in a global company, I loved my own share of it, PR is actually not the way to change minds. So even though we might help people...
Now you say that.
Even though we might help people understand or recognize the acronym ICANN, it is the interaction that changes people's minds.
Thank you, Marilyn. I have a list as follows. Thomas Narton, Martin Boyle, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and I've asked Nick Tommaso to reply to one of the points brought up. So, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Jean-Jacques. Let me just answer really briefly, respond to some points you raised, Marilyn. On the question of planning out in advance with hotels and stuff, 18 months, everybody agrees with that. This is a no-brainer. ICANN just hasn't gotten there for various reasons. And I think part of what we're trying to do here is make sure we get to that point as quickly as we can. It's not that we don't understand that, you know, waiting to the last minute puts us all in a bind. The second thing, in terms of communication, I think it's worth reminding the group here, we have a new vice president of communications that's just come on board, actually technically not on board, I think, until April 1st or something. So the whole communication strategy is going to be re-looked at again, and I think we have an opportunity to have some, you know, serious conversations about what's the right balance and what do we want to emphasize and so forth. So I'd encourage you to sort of be aware of that and try to engage, because there certainly will be some changes, I would expect. And the last thing I just want to sort of put on the table and remind everybody is we need to think very carefully for any of these any mechanisms for improvement or trying to make change, that the cost benefit actually works out. And I say that for two reasons. One is it's easy to say let's do X, let's do Y, and then we don't necessarily have a way of evaluating or understanding whether it actually results in anything tangible in terms of better policy, better interaction, you know, doing our work better. So we need, when we think about ways of or things to do that might improve public participation, we need to be very careful also to see if there's a way to measure that and understand what the benefit's going to be. And part of the reason for that is, as most of you are probably aware, the current budget situation at ICANN is we're a little bit under stress in that some of the costs for the operating year have run above where we had predicted they would be. And so I think there's going to be a fairly intense focus on costs across the board for the rest of this year and next year into the operating, you know, as we do the operating plan. So, you know, everything that we do that costs money needs to be justifiable, and we need to be sure that we're going to get benefit out of it, or people are going to question whether we really can afford to do so. Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas. Before handing the microphone to Thomas Boyle, I'd just like to remind us that Martin Boyle, sorry, that we do have a time constraint, and we would like to move pretty soon to the second part of our meeting. So, Martin Boyle.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Seeing as we've started off talking about meetings, I thought I would try and follow that same trend. I think one of the things that really greatly occurs to me as somebody who is a native English speaker is that trying to explain some of the issues to people who I recognize need to be involved can actually be quite a challenge. And of course, to get people to take part in meetings, they need to be able to convince people to fund them. They need to be able to prioritize, and they need to persuade their boss, their management, their organization to prioritize the meeting too. So it occurs to me that there are perhaps some very simple and not very costly things that we could be doing. And in particular, in simple language, to publicize very, very early in the meeting preparation process exactly what is being planned for that meeting. And you could almost do it from the end of the last meeting. If you can do it in simple language, then people can understand that, and they can then start preparing themselves, preparing their thinking, doing their prioritization. The other point I think we need to bear in mind is location. And somebody's already said that just sort of moving meetings around from region to region isn't itself an answer to improving participation. Because for many people around the globe, it's only very, very occasionally that the meeting is going to be conveniently located. And for those of us who've been coming to ICAM for a while, we might have actually forgotten quite how long it can take to get up to speed, especially with some of the complexities and difficulties of the language, some of the cultural issues that that Bill Drake referred to. And I think that is something we just need to bear in mind. And perhaps there is some option for trying to use regional liaisons to help people in particular regions prepare for the meeting so that they can then contribute effectively using the remote participation tools, bearing in mind that most of these people will be using those tools in a foreign language for them. And I think that's probably all I want to say.
Thank you, Martin. I was just going to suggest that you conclude. Thanks very much. Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, and I will be brief. I just wanted to pick up on a couple of points. First of all, something that Marilyn was saying that is very, very important to the at-large community, because you keep hearing it from us every time we talk about meetings, or in fact some of it's enshrined in where we're going with our ALAC improvements implementation. And that's that concept of a development of a unified toolkit, some resources that can be used out on the edges, and it actually solves some problems, not just to have that local interface and that preparation that Martin was referring to that's so necessary to get people engaged at meetings when they get here, but it also allows us to perhaps get local people working in local language but still unified text as the source. And I think a little exploration and perhaps some round table work with the new chief in charge of all things communication along those lines with community, because a lot of us have extensive ideas, things that are coming off the line like the podcasts, hugely important for outreach and therefore engagement in public participation. Right now, if I even suggest it comes out in anything under in English, it's no budget, of course, but we could perhaps have a script that can be franchised to be repeated locally. There's ways of doing this, and I think we need to think outside the box. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Rob, do you have anyone online who is wishing to express himself or herself? No. Right. So I'll ask Nick Tommaso to respond to some of these points without trying to be encyclopedic, because we have a very strong time constraint. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief. Marilyn, I would like to say I totally agree with you and Thomas regarding how far out we should be in planning meetings. 18 months would be great. 2 years would be ideal. I think there are savings to be had by negotiating contracts with hotel chains, multiple-year contract with hotel chains. I'm very confident that the work this committee is undertaking, meetings in the next decade, are going to produce a model of meetings with a bottoms-up input from the community that are going to serve the community best. I will tell you that I agree with you and others who have come to me on this topic that having a convention center in multiple hotels is not the ideal scenario, but I will tell you that in Africa, two of the three bids received were in convention centers. In Europe, two of two were in convention centers. And in Latin America, one of two. So you can see that the bid process is what brings us to this kind of facility. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. I'd like to add that this committee is just now in the process of evaluating the way in which venues are selected, the selection process. We're not at a stage where we can say we're against the current model or not, but we're looking at possible improvements or a change in the system, and we will tell you about that later when the work on the committee has gone forward a bit more. Now, thank you for having discussed the first part of our meeting, and as you can see on the left-hand screen, part two is facilitating more engagement in ICANN's work by developing world stakeholders. So, Nick Ashton-Hart, please lead this off.
I'm happy to do so, Jean-Jacques. And my compliments, I believe, to Vanda Scartazzini in the first instance for suggesting that the second part of the meeting be focused on this subject, which of course was immediately seized upon by her colleagues on the PPC. The format of this is in three questions, and so we'll just sort of take each in series and see what people's views are on them. I will at the same time put the questions that are raised up in a poll that is a part of Adobe Connect, which most of you will probably have not seen before. I don't believe it has been used by ICANN. And so those of you who are on Adobe Connect can actually register your non-binding opinion on these questions as they are put up. And, of course, you can see the results live. So the first question would be the obvious: should ICANN incorporate a greater focus on the developing world in its work? And if so, how?
Is that a voluntary silence, or is there a connection problem? Nick, are you online? He muted. And you're... Do you want us to observe a very religious silence, and for how long?
That was a voluntary silence. I thought the question being asked, I would leave it to you to gather some answers from those on the panel and in the room.
Right. Thank you. Would anyone like to come in on this in the discussion? By the way, before I give anyone the floor, I'd like to encourage people who are not at these at this U-shaped table to either come to it or stay where you are, but request a microphone, which the team would... And there is a microphone which is available in the hall, so please come into this discussion very freely. Just make yourself known when you line up or go to the mic. Thanks. So I had Vanda, and then there, yes.
Well, I don't know if the greater focus on developing countries is the correct, you know, sentence. But to focus on the developing country, yes, we need it, because it was a lack of effort during some time to explore what is going on developing countries and how they can join, and especially from the business side. Because in the business side, what happened is a complete, almost ignorance about how to use the facilities that and the business that are behind the DNS system and all these issues that we talk here. So when you start to talk with the people, especially in these ideas of the GNSO, new GTLDs, it's amazing how people, you know, react in the first moment. I can talk about South America, and certainly you can talk about other regions or anyway. But in South America, people, it's just, you know, was amazing how people could have doing a lot of business in other countries with something that they didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know. So it's something important to pay attention where you, you know, the population of that region could use better the facilities that is being connected with ICANN. So it was really a long time till this year, last year, that we have really the first meeting. I have been using the facility to ask for the staff to give me some of those you know, slides and something, and I translate that to Portuguese, and any place I have a chance, I incorporate some of those inside my speech. But it's something that you know, that's Vanda talking. You know, it's something. It's not so important when there is someone from the other region that is exploring. As I said, yes, I don't know, in the breakfast. In the asking for someone from the GNSO to the business community to get some, you know, records about how they are doing business, what kind of business there are around. And we can use this when you contact people, when we contact people. In the ALAC, at large community, things are going, you know, a little better because we start to, with all our rallos, we start to have much more ALSs around. So it's the people that join that spread the word. So it's something that once we work together with the CCs, with the GNSO, with the business community, the governments together, we certainly can help to focus on developing countries. Because in developing countries, you have a limited occasions to do so. So we need to work together, because if each one goes separately, there is no room for the last one or, you know, the second one to go there, because nobody will pay attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanda. Adam, please.
It was
I may have gotten the order wrong. It was Bill first. Sorry. Sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Yep.
Thanks. I thought you didn't see me. I just want to make a comment, but first I want to pass along something from Olga Cavelli, who had hoped to be here and participate in this session, but was not able to due to illness in her family. She sent along a message with some documents saying that essentially ICANN is invisible, largely invisible in Latin America, except with respect to CCTLD type workshops and some security activities, some security-related workshops. And of course, goes back to what Martin was saying, it's very easy to get people from developing countries, I think, or at least more easy, to get them interested in questions pertaining to their CCTLDs, and especially governments who view it as a sovereignty issue and so on. A lot of the GNSO type issues, of course, being more complex. I just wanted to make three real quick points, I guess. One, I think it would be worth at least as an experimental effort to try adding a session on development in the next meeting that's held in a developing country, developing region, and just see what happens. I would bet you that if you had a session on ICANN and the developing world or something like that labeled on the program, that people would show up for it big time. You know, we don't signal through the kind of program that we have where the opportunities to raise their issues may be in some cases. I mean, I know I had a long talk with a guy from Congo the other day about this session, and he said to me, well, you know, I couldn't tell from the program that this was about developing countries. I mean, he didn't look very carefully, obviously, but the point is, I think if you do a session, and particularly if it was a standard thing, on developing country issues and gave people an opportunity to get up and raise their concerns, whatever they might be, it would promote some real engagement and interest and dialogue. Secondly, I would say as a sort of more concrete analytical type issue, it would be useful, I think, at times to factor some sort of development assessment into some of our decision-making processes and deliberations. I mean, I know in the GNSO Council, we never talk about developing countries or development issues when we're talking about most of the questions that are in front of us. When the EOI came up, when the pricing of new GTLDs came up, that was sort of like there was a little peak. But otherwise, generally speaking, it's just not there. And it may well be that if you were to look at the range of questions that ICANN is tackling, there are some cases where there are indeed distinct dimensions or implications for developing countries that might not be obvious to us unless we at least just ask the question, oh, hey, how might this affect the developing world? So at least having that as one of the parameters of the conversation, not always, obviously, but where merited, I think would be a useful thing to do. And the last point I would make, and this again goes to sort of signaling and so on, I understood what Thomas said about budgets and cost-benefit analyses and all these things, and I'm sure that he would probably disagree with the following. But I would say, you know, if you look at other international institutions that deal with information communication technology issues, internet issues, and so on, they all have some sort of, quote, development program or development office or development something. There's some focal point within the institution that people who are interested in development questions can point to and kind of go, ah, that's the bit that I relate to, I'm interested in, and want to connect to, and so on. And I can't help wondering if having just even a small thing, whether it's just a staff member whose job it was to sort of raise these issues on, or be a resource person or whatever, I don't know, but someplace within the nexus that was really demonstrably, visibly about development, I think would probably have a real impact on engagement attitudes and promoting our thinking about development, making us think that development's a part of what we're doing. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Now we are faced with a problem of time constraint. It's, according to my watch, which is very accurate, 18 minutes past the hour, and we dispose of this hall until 17:30. Is that correct, Rob? And not more?
Well, I don't think there's anything after this.
Right. So I did want to point this out all the same. And if you as the community decide that we should and can go a bit further than that, it's fine with me. But I just wanted to single this out and ask the following speakers to be very brief. So, Adam Peak, please.
Yes, hello, Adam Peak. I'm a member of the ALAC, but it's a personal comment. Nick's question reminded me very much of the strategic plan and the section on the healthy internet ecosystem, which I think it echoes quite closely. So I'd like to see this, make sure that any discussion on this issue is tied very closely into the strategic plan and, of course, related to that, the budget. Don't allow things to be done in parallel and to have a good conversation here and not feed into the main process that will fund these possible and important activities. And Cheryl and Vanda have both spoken about the ALAC and the work that we're trying to do in outreach, in participation and contribution. And there are many ideas there. And the other one, of course, and again Vanda's involved, is the fellowship program, which has been extremely successful. We're seeing some very tangible outcomes of people who are becoming very active as a result of the fellowship program, not only in ICANN, but also in other related activities such as the IGF. So let's make sure if we're thinking about budgets and the importance of activities, then fund these things. And a continued focus on developing countries, I think, is essential. And working with regional and national entities, which is what the ALAC tries to do and what the fellowship program, the global partnerships tries to do, is, of course, important. We've got to do outreach and make sure we're talking to the right people at national and regional levels. And I think, as Olga's indicated, and ICANN is not so well known, so allow us to participate and contribute to other ICT-related events, whether it's IGFs, which is the obvious one, or other events that are taking place nationally and regionally. It's a little disappointing that we're not seeing more participation from Kenya, and I think that's probably due, as was indicated in a comment yesterday in the Open GAC board meeting, that there's been distractions in the build-up to this meeting. But, you know, there should be more Kenyan people here, and they should be better informed about what's going on in ICANN. I know there are some extremely active ICT-related lists here. You have a community that has volunteered to take the IGF in 2011. It's not, you know, a community that is unaware of the importance of these issues. There should be more of them here, and that's disappointing. So ICANN really has to leave stronger footprints of where it's been in the world when it continues to have these meetings. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam, for those very important points indeed. Ayesha?
Very briefly, Ayesha Hassan from ICC. I would support the idea of an experiment that that Bill Drake has suggested for an ICANN and developing country session. I think it could be quite interesting and shaped in a useful manner. Having some conversations with people here from developing countries, some of the issues that they identify are actually beyond the remit of ICANN as being their focus. And so it's quite interesting. I would welcome an opportunity to find out, as Martin has focused, on what are the relevant topics before launching any new work. I think when we look at the question, greater focus on, I would say it could be interesting to start thinking about how the work that is going on can highlight the implications for developing countries, as a few other colleagues have alluded. I think that also highlighting how it would have implications for developing country businesses. We need to start raising awareness across the board in that way. And so I would take it in a staged approach. I think we need some feedback to understand what would work. We need to work on the schedule so that there's actually strengthened participation and greater awareness raising in a couple of different methods that have already been highlighted. Thanks.
And thank you for having been brief also, in addition to your very good content. I have Alan, who wanted to speak.
Just to follow on a bit on what Bill was saying, we are continually, ICANN is continually sending messages to people from developing countries, usually very negative ones. This meeting's very visible low-bandwidth chat is a marvelous thing. It not only caters to people with low bandwidth, but reminds others that there are people with low bandwidth. Earlier this week, someone asked Kurt about why there are not differential prices for the EOI or for the new GDLDs, and the answer was, you know, we understand the problem, we'll look at it in the second round. The message that many people get from that is ICANN isn't interested in developing countries. One more little small, tiny one. up until relatively recently, the letter that went out to people at ICANN was funding for traveling to fill in for their travel dates was over a megabyte long because the travel agent's logo was on the stationery and very pretty. And when it was pointed out to them, the answer was basically, And that sends messages. And I think everyone in ICANN, all the staff, have to be alerted to the issue that this is important, if it is really is important.
Thank you very much, Alan. I think that we have to take this into consideration much more than we ever have in ICANN in general, and certainly in the Public Participation Committee. Martin Boyle.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. One of the things that CCNSO has started doing is to try and develop a resource centre for people to be able to draw on, so that people who have done something and achieved something can actually then post that other people can learn. And it occurred to me that there is actually quite an important role here of trying to encourage developing countries themselves who have confronted problems that nobody else has confronted to put them up, because almost certainly there will be others of their colleagues and constituencies who then will come across the same problem. If they can learn from your best practice, that's going to make a lot of difference. The second bit I'd like to pick up on was the bit really about mission creep. And it occurred to me that when ICANN goes somewhere, they bring an awful lot of experts from around the globe, a fabulous resource for people to draw on. But, of course, an awful lot of the issues that people might want to talk to them about are not issues that fall within ICANN's mandate. I just wonder whether there is an option for doing fringe events where you can try and get those experts together and give people then the opportunity to talk to the experts to try and address the issues that they are finding of concern without it impacting on ICANN's mandate whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Gonzalo, would you like to say something?
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I don't know if we have Spanish translation or interpretation. Okay, in that case, I will use our tools, with great satisfaction, I have to say. Y prometo ser muy breve, muy, muy breve. Jean-Jacques y las personas que están acá en esta reunión, creo que ha sido extremadamente interesante el intercambio que hemos tenido hoy para responder directamente a la pregunta, y yo viniendo de una región en vías de desarrollo, no puedo más que decir sí. Me encantaría.
Yeah. Translation.
Okay, mejor todavía. No translation? Okay. I was saying that, well, coming from a development region, my answer... Coming from a developing region, my answer is to this question is yes, absolutely. O sea, I cannot say anything else. But I was saying previously that today we had a really, really good exchange of point of view, and being a new member of this committee, but an old guy coming to ICANN meetings, I have to say that now that we have the tools or the vehicles, it's time to put the content to this vehicle and see where we're going. In that regard, I think that Ayesha's suggestion is really, really important, and well, we need to know what our people is needing to do with these tools. That's pretty much. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, I think you asked for the floor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Lee Williams from the financial services industry, or as I'm trying to develop it, the financial services community. As someone who is relatively new to ICANN, having been to just a few meetings now, I'm still very much struck by how little participation we have from the non-contracting corporations around the world. And it's clear to me that they would have a very great interest if they had a little greater awareness. In the first half of our discussion about the four projects that we might undertake, it seemed important that we bake that element into the comprehensive outreach strategy, and I would assume that that would be a piece of it. In this second part, where we're talking about outreach to the developing countries, I also think that might be a very efficient channel. Large enterprises are nothing if not networks of employees and customers and business partners that very efficiently reach out to the regions in which they live and which they serve. So I would encourage the committee and others who have a role to work on that, both in the much larger sense, but also to try to capitalize on it as much as possible in this developing countries initiative.
Thank you very much, Lee Williams. That's a very timely remark, which we had not had thus far in this meeting. Now, we've reached 17:30 just now, 2 seconds ago, and normally we should have finished. Now, Martin Boyle has just indicated to me that he'll have to leave very soon in just a few minutes. So if anyone has a specific question, and especially to Martin, that would be a very good thing. But we can take perhaps one more remark aside from that, and you're most welcome. Could you find a microphone? You have one. And Katim just after that, and then I'll try to sum up our discussion.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And my name is Walter Ogutu. I'm from Nairobi, Kenya here. This is my first meeting that I'm attending in the ICANN. And one thing I wanted to point out is that I am interested in being part of the ICANN community very, very much. And I'll be following up that one with the chairman of the BCO, that is the lady, I've forgotten her name, but I'll do that. Now, what I wanted to do to say is that Kenya is at a crossroads whereby the internet is going to pick up very, very fast. Over the last 5 years, the Kenya government has taken the initiative to bring in two under the Cable C. The argument was that when we have the under the Cable C, the internet costs will come down. I'm a participant in the Digital Village Project, which is being sponsored by the World Bank. My suggestion to this forum is that I can take this opportunity to engage the World Bank, to engage the Kenya ICT Board, who are the implementing agency for the Kenya government sponsors of the project, to ensure that people like me who are interested in rolling out services to the population are supported financially, because what is happening now is that over the last 5 years, the internet was the domain of small players, that the ISPs. But with the development in telecommunication technology, the big players, Safaricom, or Zyne, and I would say KDN, have taken over. So the small players actually are being slowly pushed out of the market. As a member of who wants to invest in that business, I think that ICANN has got an opportunity to adopt a bottom-up approach. And this is where I feel, because ICANN is a non-profit organization, it can be able to support the majority of the people in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda. And in this forum, I've met very, very many people who are interested in that kind of attitude. The reason why I'm saying this, only about 2 years ago, we only had about 20,000 people who are having access to financial services. Those are in the lower bottom bracket of the economy. Right now, that number has reached 10 million. So there is actually a bottom-up approach is what Safaricom did to penetrate the market. Safaricom is not leading in the market because Safaricom is leading because it went to the grassroots. And because of that, the revenue of Safaricom shot up. It's now the biggest company in the East African region. And I think ICANN should, you know, engage the World Bank, the Kenya ICT Board, and organizations like Safaricom. They have a foundation now, and all these things can bring the membership up. And this hall would have been full if that was what was happening. But the reason why the hall is not full is because the approach has been bottom up. And Safaricom will say, Michael Joseph cannot be here. He has no interest. He has reached the market already. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter Ogutu. I'm afraid we'll have to stop the... Oh, no, there was Katim. I'm so sorry, Katim. And then we have to... But please be very brief because of the time constraint. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, and good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be in this meeting. And I was thinking to myself as Mr. Ogutu was speaking that he really, in a very large part, actually blew my balloon, because one of the biggest complaints I've had is that I've always implored my friends from the developing world, particularly those in Africa, to understand the fact that we have to actively, those of us who are actually in the game already, actively participate in the process. Otherwise, we have to agree or we have to be willing to live with the decisions that are arrived at by other people. And these decisions might not necessarily be to our liking and or in our best interest. And so just when I was going to open up my spiel with a lamentation of the fact that people don't participate and open their mouths when they go to these meetings, Mr. Ogutu goes in, you know, comes along and has some very wonderful and very pertinent interventions. So thank you very much. And I think what I want to say here is that we need to emulate him and make sure our voices are heard whenever we have the opportunity to present our opinions. I think the other thing we have to bear in mind also is that I keep getting constant feedback from people, especially from the Francophone community, that ICANN is just simply not walking the talk when we talk about engagement. For the fact that we are not really doing a good job of opening the space to them and providing them the tools that they would need, basically translation, interpretation services, so that they're actually comfortable in speaking in their native French. I think we need to pay much, much closer attention to the whole issue of getting the non-English speakers to be able to effectively participate in ICANN's activities. And this is not only restricted or limited to the business of providing translation and interpretation facilities. It also means that when we expect people to make useful, fruitful comments to documents that are part of the policy development process, those documents have to be provided to them in the languages that they can read and understand in, and also provided to them in time and in a manner and fashion they can easily access. I think I'd also like to add my voice.
Would you try to conclude?
2 seconds. My voice to the importance of us working through regional organizations like the African Union, for instance, Inter-American organizations, and also United Nations organizations. And finally, I cannot overemphasize the importance of international engagement, as has been pointed out here. And because of the simple reason that I believe, as I've told other people, ICANN needs to be able to articulate its place in the international ecosystem of organizations that we need to work with. Thank you very much, and for your opinions.
Right. I'm afraid I don't have the powers to extend this meeting for another hour. But no, I don't know what are the arrangements, the equipment, the interpreters. Thank you again for the interpreters. But I'll take the next two at least, three. Sorry. So Rafik, and then Fawd, and then the gentleman at the end of this row here. Go ahead. But so please be brief.
Yeah, it will be really brief. So should I think it's important to involve more people from ICANN community and especially from developing countries in defining the outreach and engagement strategy. And finally, I think it's specific effort to should be done toward non-commercial communities, and ICANN shouldn't limit its effort to the business-related community, and also it should focus on non-commercial communities.
Fawad?
Fawad Bajwa from Pakistan. Just to share
an experience which has happened in the past few months in Seoul and now Nairobi. The fellowship program itself is actually giving you some really interesting examples. And I'd like to request some of the board members to actually sit through some of our really early morning meetings, which we have. And you'd experience some things which you won't believe. For example, today we had a session with one of the alumni, and a 9-year research on IDNs was presented on 8 languages. And the first ever book produced on IDNs was also shared with all the fellows. They will be taking this book back and sharing this within their communities. This will generate interest in the issues of IDNs. You'll see more people coming in. Second thing, your fellows are your ambassadors. And when they return to their 20 or 15 or 20 countries, they're the ones who are going to tell stories about ICANN back home. And these are the people who will encourage more people to come in. Third thing, if you add people from the developing country into your committee, like as a regular committee who've participated and who can use their resourcefulness and maybe reach out to other organizations, there are many funds available out there, and they can be contributed to the constituencies if a proper coordinated effort is made. You can also have businesses tend to have some money on their hands for like marketing or whatever, and grants can be matched. For example, you can sponsor like partially the air travel, and they can sponsor their hotels. So there are many ways to work and engage. And finally, for example, I'd like to quote Aisha Hassan, right? They have a link with all the international chambers of commerce, all the country chambers of commerce. And they have contact with the associations. For example, in Pakistan, I have contact with the Internet Association of Pakistan and the whole telecom community. So the program can actually be promoted, but just a coordinated effort is required with the right people in that particular committee. Thank you.
Thank you. And the gentleman at the end of this table, would you care to speak now?
Thank you. My name is Chris Chimanga. I'm originally from the Republic of Congo. And my thought on this is the awareness of ICANN, especially in the French countries, it's very, very low. Because first, the internet in DRC, the Republic of Congo, it's very, very expensive. And to find somebody who you can only ask, the only places, small places where you can find the internet. We get it through the wireless connection and all that. And I think ICANN can probably look at how they can ensure that people in a French country and in mostly in those non-developing who are trying to, you know, to come onto the level of the technology to be improved and all that, you know, to make sure that the population, the people that are right down on the bottom of the pyramid can be aware of what ICANN can provide. Just a small example. On our universities, you find that people, they use old syllabus, which have been there for the time, let's say 10 years, but they're not sure that they can get information throughout maybe the internet and trying to see what new things they can do. So those are the things that, and all universities, and it's quite rare because you cannot find a student going to on the internet. Where is he going to get the money from? And then all are expensive. So ICANN can really develop that awareness through universities also, and to we talk in French, and it's also another barrier that ICANN should look at through maybe some of the French community, or I could see there is a francophonie where they can make sure that they pass the message and see what, and people be aware of what ICANN can bring to those French countries, especially in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Of course, you were referring to countries which possess the French language, of which France is only one part. And thank you very much for that remark as well. So, are there any other overall remarks? Otherwise, I will ask Nick Ashton-Hart to give us a few replies to some of these remarks, perhaps centering on what exists in our work program of the Public Participation Committee, which are geared to responding or to answering some of these requests or remarks. And then I'll conclude the meeting by saying a few words myself and invite you to stay around so that we can meet each other after this meeting. This we have done now for a few times in these public participation meetings carried out in public, and we always keep a few minutes at the end in order to exchange visiting cards and get to know each other, and of course to continue the conversation we have engaged today, because a meeting is nothing more than a conversation, and we always hope that it will provide fruit later on. So, Nick, I spoke a bit longer than necessary, but that was, of course, you understood, to give you time to collect your thoughts.
Well, thank you very much for that. The amount of sleep I'm not getting, the more time I have to collect my thoughts, the better. Well, the first thing I would say is we managed to have a great debate on question one. We didn't get so far into question two and three, but I did put up a snap poll of the ideas that I heard for specific things that could be done, which I heard in the meeting, and the number of you responded. You can see that on the screen, of course, for yourself. With respect to how this fits into our existing program
Nick,
of work,
I think... Excuse me, Nick, I don't hear you absolutely clearly. Could you come a bit closer to your microphone?
Sure. Is that any better?
It is. Thanks.
Yeah. As to the development dimension or involving developing country stakeholders in the work program, I think it's certainly included. I think you see an example which Alan highlighted in the remote participation options for this meeting, where we went out of our way to equalize the services that we had available to try and make it easier for participants with low bandwidth or with any level of bandwidth to participate effectively. We'll continue to expand those opportunities. We continue to invest more in multilingualism. Christina, if she was there, would quote some pretty good statistics, and we will certainly do more to make the information that is translated more accessible in the coming weeks. All of these projects, of course, none of them are free. Some are less and more expensive. But my hope is that in commenting on the operating plan and budget, that members of the community, all of you there, will make these points that you have made about the importance of ensuring access on an equal basis for people, regardless of where they live or their relative level of development. And as we go through the process of consulting on the four projects, I have faith that we will all keep in mind the points that have been made, but more to the point, since those programs of work will be built based on your input, it will be easy for us to incorporate the level of commitment that you wish for us to make.
Thank you, Nick. Could you just say a word of the technical aspect of recording either in audio or video or anything else, text? I mean, the records of this meeting, which can be consulted, and in what time frame?
Yes, the recordings in all three languages will be available within about 2 hours from the close of this session. A transcript will be prepared in English. The notes that I've taken, once I have fleshed them out a bit, I will also post them as sort of a list of bullet points of the ideas that have been proposed.
Thank you, Nick. Now I'd like to say a few words to bring this meeting to a close with a few comments which I hope will be useful. The first is that this is not the end of a game. This is only one point on the long way ahead to enhancing public participation, the object of which is, of course, enhancing awareness, but more specifically, it is to engage people to contribute to the policy formation process of ICANN, which is very largely a policy body. The second thing is that we did take the risk, and I personally took the risk of these imperfections which were exposed to you today. We didn't plan it that way, but that's part of the reality. Trying to link the world with various bandwidths, etc., is not all that easy. The third thing is, of course, that we have taken very careful note of all your criticisms or remarks and especially suggestions, including some very specific projects or recommendations you have made. My fourth point is that this is not lost. Neither this meeting nor all the feedback you are kind enough to give to the Public Participation Committee, whether online or through other means. As Nick Ashton-Hart has just reminded us, this will be online in 2 hours for most of it. And I think that at least for the Public Participation Committee, this is a first. Generally, we've had to wait a bit longer. So I think that this is also an encouraging sign of the way we are very keen to listen to you and to take on board those concrete suggestions which we think fit into the general plan. Finally, I wish to express the fact that, of course, it is regrettable that the technical side has come into a few glitches. I cannot take direct responsibility for that without being a technician, but I do assume that responsibility. It's part of our duty on the PPC to work towards an improvement, an enhancement of those means. This covers languages. As we saw, we were not able to speak in all languages and make sure that they were translated in the others, so we'll have to look at that very, very carefully. The links were not always perfectly reliable, but as I said, this is just one milestone on a long way, and you are contributing to making this way more interesting and more effective. By saying this, I'm not shirking the responsibility of our committee. I'm simply underlining the fact that you are as much part of this committee, although not officially members, as we are. So this depends partly on you and very much on us as far as the responsibility is concerned. So thank you all for the participation. Thank you for those online who perhaps didn't wish to intervene this time, but maybe a bit more next time. And my last word is about Kenya. I think that the participation of Kenyans in this and other meetings of this ICANN week is very important. And I'm sure that, as Walter reminded us, this is your first meeting, I believe, and I really do hope that through your influence in your own community, linguistic, national, professional, your network of friends also, that you too will contribute to making better known, not so much ICANN, but the challenges to the internet, and on the way, perhaps speak about ICANN and what it can bring to that overall challenge. Thank you very much.